Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. This is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ here in Omaha, Nebraska. Great to be back with all of our listeners again today. Great to be back in God's Word so we can study together, learn together, and grow spiritually together. And that's right. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. So the more time we can spend in God's Word, truly studying, truly learning, and submitting to His teachings, well, the stronger our faith should grow. We encourage you to come and check us out in person at the Sunny Slope Church of Christ right here in Omaha. Church building is located at 3606 North 108th Street. 3606 North 108th Street. Bible classes begin on Sunday morning at 9:30, followed by worship at 10:30. Sunday evening, 6 o'clock, we come back together for another period of worship and Bible study. Wednesday evenings, middle of the week, good time to kind of renew our spiritual batteries. We come back together at 6:30 each Wednesday evening for midweek Bible classes. You're welcome to any and all of these services. We hope that you'll come and check us out, get to know us, let us get to know you. Study God's Word with us, worship God with us, and grow spiritually with us. Many of our radio listeners have done that in the past and have stayed with us, so we hope that you will too. Now, tell your friends about the program. And if they can't listen at the prescribed times, even though we're on several times a day, tell them to go to our website, and you can do this yourself, churchofchrist.com, churchofchrist.com. And click on the podcast button, sign up for our podcasting. It's free. It always will be free. We're not after people's wallets. We want to help people get to heaven. And when somebody signs up for our podcasting, they will automatically receive Search the Scriptures, this radio program, right to their smart device, their phone, computer, whichever device they choose, automatically 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. But they'll also receive a great deal more Bible teaching every single day, 7 days a week. So take advantage of that and tell everybody you can to do so as well. We're going to get back into our study talking about selfishness. Now, this is one of the heart troubles that we're focusing upon in this broader umbrella of topics. And we've talked about a great deal of heart problems, that is, problems of the heart from a spiritual perspective, such as envy and gossip and unforgiveness and anger and hatred and on and on and on it goes. In this particular one, we're focusing on selfishness. We're using as something of a base text to get us into the study and kind of keep us focused, Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. And here the Apostle Paul wrote, "We then who are strong," and he's talking about being strong spiritually, "ought to bear with the scruples or opinions of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." Now, again, somebody might say, "I don't see the word selfish or selfishness in there anywhere." And you're correct. The specific word or words are not there. But notice, the principle of selfishness is what is being taught against here. And so we then who are strong spiritually, we ought to be considerate of people in their weakness, maybe sometimes some of their opinions, the word scruples, opinions, that may not, some of their opinions may not be really good opinions to take, but be considerate of them. And if it's a doctrinal error kind of situation, or if they're being, you know, kind of overbearing in their opinions, well then take some time to patiently and lovingly correct them from the Scriptures in their misunderstanding. But then it goes even beyond that, and it says, you know, not to please ourselves, not to please ourselves, but to please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification, which means building up or encouraging or strengthening. Now, the definition of selfishness helps us understand that Paul was absolutely talking about that particular situation in Romans 15, verses 1 and 2, not being selfish. The definition of selfishness is the idea of being focused on your own interests, your own desires, your own needs, your own wishes as being more or most important while ignoring the desires and interests and needs and wishes of other people. It is to be self-seeking, self-centered, self-interested, and even egotistical and egocentric at times. So Paul is saying, you think about your neighbor. You think about your brother, sister in Christ. Don't just focus on your own thoughts, your own desires, what you think you need and what you want, but you know, help them in their particular needs. So that is the idea then of not being selfish. Well, we looked at a number of scripture texts in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, Philippians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, and Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And all of these teach against, even condemn, what is identified as selfish ambitions. Now, you want to boil that down. Selfishness. Condemned over and over again. Now, what I wanted to do today, as I said as we closed last time, I want to look at the opposite of selfishness through the example of Jesus, who presented an example of selflessness. Selflessness. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, I want to read this entire text all the way down through verse 8. The Apostle Paul wrote this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Now, as I said, Jesus left us an example through the way he lived his physical life upon this earth, but even before that, lovingly, willingly, obedient to the will of the Father, leaving his position in heaven for a time to become man, and thereby being made a little lower than the angels in that he took human form. Well, so in coming to this earth as a man, Jesus totally surrendered his will to God's will, and not for his own good, but for the good of humanity. The good of humanity. He allowed himself to be put on that cross. He did that lovingly. He did that willingly. He did that for you and for me. I want us to look at John chapter 19, John chapter 19, and verses 10 and 11. John chapter 19, verses 10 and 11. Pilate said to him, that is to Jesus, and this was one of the hearings that Jesus went through the night before his crucifixion on the cross the next day. So Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above," that is from God. "Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." So Jesus was not being arrogant at all with the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, but he was simply informing the governor who said, "Hey, don't you understand?" Now, he was asking Jesus questions. And as I said before, as the Jewish authorities ran him through a series of mock hearings, trying to cover themselves to be able to say, "Oh yeah, we put him through everything we were supposed to put him through before we condemned him and had him crucified on the cross." They were mock hearings, basically. And most of the questions they continued to ask Jesus, he simply remained silent by way of response. Most of what Pontius Pilate asked him or spoke to him about, he remained silent. Now, there were a few times when he spoke up, both the Jewish authorities and also to Pilate, and this is one of the occasions when Pilate says, "Don't you understand who I am, the power I have, the authority I have? I can have you crucified or I can release you." And Jesus said, you'd have no power at all over me, except it was given to you by God. Jesus was here on a mission from God the Father. And so he submitted his will to God's will. And thereby, Pilate found himself in a position where he ultimately gave the go-ahead, the orders to have him crucified. But Jesus said, look, I'm here by my will. I'm here by God's will. Now, he also said, I could pray to God and he'll send 10 legions of angels to rescue me, to fight for me. But that's not why I'm here. I'm here to give my life, to humbly surrender. Now, that is an example of selflessness. Jesus left us that example, that we should incorporate it into our lives. He did not leave us an example of selfishness. Now let's look at this text in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 more closely. In verse 6, what does it say? Speaking of Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery or a thing to be held on to be equal with God. Now, in this particular verse, the Greek does not translate, really comfortably and well, kind of word for word, into the English. And that's a common characteristic of translating from, words from one language into another. A lot of times we have to understand the meanings, that are related to a word in one language and do the best we can to translate it into equivalent wording in another language. So we have some problems with that in English, going from one language into English, and I'm sure going from English into other languages. But now, what it's saying here is that if you can understand the broader scope of the picture here, Jesus, the Christ, God the Son, was in heaven. And in heaven, he was equal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. But he did not consider that position when God the Father had that mission for him, and the Old Testament scriptures repeatedly pointed toward, prophesied of the coming Savior to this earth in human form. Jesus submitted to that will of the Father. And he didn't do that under coercion. He did that willingly. He did that lovingly. He humbled himself, the text goes on and says. Now, when you think about leaving heaven and becoming man, we need to remember what the Hebrews writer wrote in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. We see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. He came as the ultimate, one-time-for-all-time, perfect, absolutely pure sacrifice to pay the price for the guilt of our sins. The sins of you and me, the sins of all mankind alive now, but also of all mankind who has ever lived, and of all mankind who might still be in the future until the Lord comes again on that final day of judgment. But coming in human form, he allowed himself to be made a little lower than the angels. Angels are spiritual, is a spiritual race living in heaven, an angelic race. Jesus came to earth. He took human form. And human form, he was going to experience all the kinds of things that human beings experience, including pain, suffering at times, probably had experienced some human illnesses from time to time. But he did that willingly. In that, he left us the example of selflessness and not selfishness. He could have stayed in heaven. He didn't have to come to this earth. But again, we needed him to come. And in Hebrews 7 and verse 27, it talks about he was the perfect sacrifice. He only had to come and go to the cross one time, and that would be the ultimate sacrifice for all time. For all time. Hebrews chapter 4, the last few verses, talks about how as he lived his human life on this earth, he was tempted just as we're tempted. But he never gave in to the temptations. He never committed sin. And so he could go to that cross absolutely pure, even in human form, as the ultimate sacrifice. And in that act of surrender, he was the perfect sacrifice. He could pay that price for the guilt of our sins. Romans 5 and verse 8, Paul said, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So, verse 6, Philippians chapter 2, who, speaking of Christ, being in the form of God while he was still in heaven, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Made himself of no reputation. Oh, all right, so he humbled himself to the point where he became man. And he didn't come to this earth and declare himself to be king on a throne in Jerusalem. He came as a spiritual king. King, yes, but not the kind of king mankind was looking for. He made himself of no reputation. He was not self-seeking. He was not caught up in selfish ambitions. He's God the Son. And yet in this world, as he lived in human form, while still fully divine, he was still fully man. And he lived, I think we'd have to say, a humble existence or lifestyle. And yet he came teaching the glorified message of the gospel come from God. So, verse 7, he made himself of no reputation. Another translation, I believe, says he emptied himself. Emptied himself. Think about that. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men as a bondservant. When we boil down that particular term, it's the idea of he made himself or allowed himself to be made a slave. Now, was he in slavery in human form? No. But he totally gave himself to his mission. And he took the form of a bondservant, serving God on the mission that God sent him to fulfill. And verse 7 goes on then and says, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, became that human being. And he associated with human beings. I think we can say he saw the weaknesses of the weak. He saw the frailties of the infirm and the ill. He saw the frailties even of humanity among people who would have been looked at as being physically strong, but they had weaknesses. They had frailties. He saw the wickedness of the wicked. And he came to be the Savior of every one of them. Now, he did not come to save people in their sin. He came to save people from their sin. And that statement, that direct statement in verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Humbled himself. That's the opposite of being selfish. Jesus came selfless. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, think about that. So he humbled himself and became obedient to whom? To the will of the Father. To what extent did he become obedient? He became obedient even to the point of giving his life on that cross. exactly fulfilling the mission that God the Father had for him to fulfill, sent him to this earth to fulfill. The Hebrews writer in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, was portraying Jesus in that position of humble obedience to the will of the Father. He said, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. Now, do you think Jesus really needed to learn obedience? Of course not. He is God the Son. But you see, in human form, as he was a man, physical man on this earth, while still fully divine, he went through all of the processes of learning obedience. I believe that was for our sake, so that we could recognize the need for our learning obedience to God. Jesus exactly, completely fulfilled his mission on this earth as Savior come from heaven. So though he were a son, yet he learned obedience. And having been perfected, he became the author or source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. To all who obey him. He became obedient to what extent? The death of the cross. The death on the cross. His physical life being taken on that cross. In a brutal, barbaric, from our perspective today, torturous kind of execution. He did that, humbling himself to be completely obedient, totally obedient. He willingly died for us. Willingly died for us. It was not forced on him. He did not have to do it. Remember, he told Pilate, "I can pray to the Father and he'll send 10 legions of angels to rescue me." But that's not what he came for. He came to go to that cross. In that act, beginning from with his leaving heaven and becoming man, and then living here as man for those 33 years or so, and then dying on that cross, Jesus gave us the ultimate example of selflessness, the exact opposite of selfishness. In Romans 15 and verse 3, we read, "For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." He willingly, lovingly, obediently died for his enemies. Think about that. Selflessness, the opposite of selfishness. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son to this earth to go to that cross to die for us. Thank you for his example of selflessness to teach us against selfishness. Help us to learn and to apply his example to our lives faithfully, obediently, and consistently, and to your glory, Father. Please forgive us and hear our prayer, gracious Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.